My name is Dave Jones, and it's my privilege to lead this rabble. Or is it a gaggle? I'm not sure. Rabble. Rabble's good. Since it's Father's Day, I was reflecting on, you know, parenthood, and I got thinking about the program One Born Every Minute. Hands up if you've seen that show. It's a it's a brilliant motivational documentary. One Born Every Minute, if you haven't seen it, is another great Channel 4 documentary where basically they film people who are women who are pregnant and their husbands, and through pregnancy, and then most of the show is through them in labour. And it's pretty grim, I have to say. And then they actually give birth, and then it's kind of, you know, you see a little bit, you know them with their baby, but it's such an emotional show. It really is. It's hardcore for most of it, and at the end, everyone I know who's watched the show cries at the end. The end is when, like, the baby's born and they give the baby to the parents, and like, they put it, you know, onto the mum or onto the dad, and they're just like looking at it, and it's so intense, and like, I cry every single time. And it's just like, oh, this is so beautiful. And it's like there's something about that kind of the snapshot of that moment, which you just know, like, everything's changed in that moment. Suddenly, somehow, these parents have got this kid in their arms, and it's a living being, it's a living soul, and they know that, you know, no matter what happens, you know, in their lives, whether or not they're academic, whether or not they're sporty, whether or not they're annoying, whether or not they're, you know, just amazing, whether or not they're really unable, you know, whoever they are, you know that their parents are just going to love them unconditionally. You just know in that moment they've suddenly got this love within them, and it's really powerful, like television, and it's a really powerful moment. And for me, I think there's a picture in that of the way that God feels about humanity. He loves us all just unconditionally as his kids. And I just think, you know, it'd be really sad if, you know, Mick and Kerry and Martin and Ivana, you guys love your kids obviously so much, and if their kids never knew their love, that you loved them, or never experienced that, you know, their love, that would be just a really, really sad situation. And that's kind of like the situation that I think we have with, like, with God and humanity, because it's quite difficult for God to kind of show his love to humanity, because there'd have to be, you know, it's really easy with parents because you're flesh and blood, and you can, you know, you can hug, and you can, you know, wipe a knee if it's dirty, and, you know, you can just be there in the flesh, whereas God, he can't be. There'd have to be a billion versions of God in order for us to know his fatherly love and his parenthood love in the way that we do with our own parents. So it's quite tricky for God. So I was thinking about this. I was thinking, you know, if I was God, or if, right now, if I was God, and I know it's not hard to imagine. If I was a spiritual being right now in this room, and I was like, ooh, hello, guys. And, you know, I wanted you to know what I was like. If I was totally invisible, how would you kind of learn to know what I was like? I think, you know, if, you know, like Kerry was saying, God really values free will. So I'd have to, like, basically be hidden enough so that those who don't want to, you know, who don't want to know me, or those who want to ignore me, can ignore me. But I'd have to be hidden enough so that for those who want to find me can find me. So I'd have to get that balance right, which I think God does. And then basically what I'd do, I'd probably just, those who want to find me, I'd probably kind of like try and appear in different ways. So I might kind of do the odd kind of like miracle here. I might, you know, appear in someone's dream maybe. Or I might kind of, you know, as people are singing songs, I might kind of come, you know, with my presence. And they might be like, ooh, I feel something. Or I might kind of feel, you know, fill people's hearts. It's like, it's quite tricky, you know, being God. And kind of meeting humanity and, you know, trying to show humanity what I'm like. And that's kind of what the scriptures tell us. You know, when you read through the Old Testament, you've got kind of story after story of people who, you know, they find in God, they're responding to this deep need within them around, you know, is there a God and what's he like? And people kind of, you know, they encounter him through different ways. Some people have dreams, and some people, they kind of, they get unctioned in their spirit. They think, oh, you know, I feel like God's saying this, and they take steps of faith, and then amazing miracles happen, and people journey with God in different ways. But God ultimately has to kind of put his, none of it kind of cuts the mustard. You know, often, like, God can be betrayed in weird ways because he's operating in really flawed situations and is having to kind of, you know, choose the lesser of two evils and, you know, people mix their own personalities in with, you know, what they feel like God said, and none of it really cuts the mustard. So if I was God, I'd probably do what God did. If I was a spirit being and I was invisible, the only way for you to really, really know who I am is to come in human form. Really. It's the only way to do it that I could think of doing it. And so basically, this is why Christians really bang on about Jesus the whole time, because Jesus is the invisible God made visible. That's what Jesus is about. He comes to earth to reveal God's character, to truly reveal what God is like, to sum up all the various encounters and different experiences that people have had over the years and throughout the, you know, human history. And he says, you know what, this is what I'm like. And Jesus comes and he models God as Father. It's absolutely amazing. He comes to reveal God, what God is like. And everyone, or lots of people, know the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that, you know, the disciples say, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And he starts it, Our Father, who art in heaven. He should have said, My Father. He said, Our Father. And through like the life of Jesus, Jesus shows us what the Father is like, what the Creator is like. You know, he models this most beautiful life of love and inclusion. And, you know, he heals the sick and he gives dignity to those who don't have dignity. And he draws in those who are excluded by society and those deemed unclean. And, you know, the people he gets most angry with are the religious people, the people who are supposed to be representing him and are doing a bad job. And often they're pushing people away from him. And I think God often has the same problems and frustrations with the religious community. He just like lives the most wonderful life. And, you know, in his teaching, he reveals God as love. You know, he tells this amazing story of the prodigal son. In the prodigal son, there's these two sons. I don't have time to unpack it, but there's these two sons, and they're kind of sons of an estate owner. And one of the sons, he basically says, you know what, I've had enough. I'm sick of all this line management of the servants. I'm sick of having to be responsible and put on a good, you know, show. So I don't, you know, whenever I'm in public, you know, I don't want to let your family name down. I'm sick of all this responsibility. You know, Dad, I wish you were dead. And, you know, he doesn't say, I wish you were dead. He basically says, I want my share of the inheritance. And if you're going to say that today to your own father or mother or whoever, it's quite a rude thing to say. And the father gives it to the son and he goes off and he thinks, you know, that just being free, man, is like what it's all about. And he basically burns it all. He burns all his share of the estate. He burns it on women, on drugs and drink. I don't know if there was drugs around then, but, you know, gambling. The Bible calls it loose living. And he gets to this point, and he's just completely low, and just like he's lost everything. He goes, you know what, even the servants in my father's house, they've got it better than me. You know, I'm just like trying to get money to get a meal together. And so he goes back, and he's going back and he's rehearsing this speech. He's, you know, Father, forgive me, I've sinned against heaven and earth. Please take me back as one of your servants. And in the distance, this is Jesus, by the way, telling the story of what God is like. And he's referring to God as the Father in the story. And he says, the son's walking back, and then suddenly he sees the Father in the distance, a Jewish man, a dignified man, doing the undignified thing of pulling up his robes. And now just sprinting as fast as he can, sprinting to his son. And he hugs him and he puts his arms around him before he can even open his mouth and say sorry. He says, put a ring on his finger, a robe on his back. Let's party. It's amazing. And that's like a picture of humanity. You know, for us, often we think, you know, just going and being free, you know, that's what living is. But actually we find that it's so shallow. It often just runs out so quickly. It just ends up making us feel like crap and it doesn't last. And in the picture, Jesus shows us that, you know, you can never be too dirty, you can never be too broken, you can never be too messed up, you can never be too sinful for God. The only thing you can be is too proud. The only thing you can do is think, you know what, I'm not going back. Because it takes humility. Or the only thing you could do is have a wrong view of God and think, I'm not going to go back, otherwise, you know, I'm really in for it. That's the wrong view of God. You know, Jesus, he models God's love through his life, through his teaching. He models God's love, you know, in his death. Even like in his very last moments, he still models, he proves that God is love. It's totally put to test. On the cross, he's being killed by the people who came, you know, who he created. They're not even asking for forgiveness. And he still says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's absolutely astounding. outstanding. It's amazing. You know, when I was a kid, my mum used to, if I got like upset or in a bad mood or something like that, you know, my mum would be like, "Come here, give me a hug," and I'd be like, "No, mum, get away." And she was relentless. She'd, "Come on, give me a hug. You know you want one." I was like, "No, mum. I'm a boy. I'm a man. I need love. Come here, give me a hug." "No." And she'd break me down after maybe like 10 minutes of this toing and froing. It was just so frustrating. I was like, "Mum, how many times do I need to tell you? I do not want this." "Okay, I do." And she'd give me a hug, and you know, I'd just feel loved and, you know, good again. I think God's like that with us. God's like that, you know, with humanity. He's always like, "Come here, give me a hug." And we don't want to go to him because it requires that kind of sense of letting go. It requires that sense of like being vulnerable. You know, it requires that kind of sense of being meek and going, "You know what, like, I can't be strong anymore. You know, I think I'm a half decent bloke, and you know, I like to be strong. I like to be good at life. I like to be strong and competent and able and clever, and I don't know, just whatever. You know, you want to just do life well. And I think we live in a culture where people don't, you know, they don't want to show weakness. We want to be successful and good at doing life. And actually, you know what? I think under the veneer of what we all kind of put on, we're actually all quite fragile and broken. And, you know, Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek." There's that kind of sense of coming, but just recognizing within ourselves, you know what? Oh man, I can't do it on my own. Just be vulnerable with God. So Jesus, he comes and shows us that God is love, and he makes the invisible God visible. And this is why everyone loves Jesus, basically. This is why we're all going about Jesus. But Jesus, as Colin was saying last week, he goes away. He says, "It's good that I go away." And he says that. He says, "It's good that I go away so that I can send my Spirit." So if God wants us to know him as Father, how do we do that? We can see what he's like in Jesus, experience what he's like by his Spirit. Can we just put that slide up, Tim? A few weeks ago, someone showed me this picture, and I've now got it on my phone. I don't even know who did it. It's an old painting. There's this picture. It's a picture of Jesus, and he's knocking on this door, and it's taken from this verse in Revelation where it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone answers, I will come in and dine with him." And on the door, there is no handle. There's only a handle on the inside. It's the same as my front door in my own home, actually. I don't have a handle on the outside of the door. I only have a handle on the inside of the door. So people have to knock in order, and I have to let them in. Now this is a picture of the human heart. This is a picture of our heart, not our physical hearts, our kind of soul hearts. Jesus comes and he knocks at the door of our hearts. And he can't let himself in from the outside. The only way we can do it is let him in. We have to open our hearts. You know, the Bible in Corinthians, it talks it this way. It says he puts his treasure in jars of clay. That's what it is. It's his presence in broken, flawed, scared, messed up people like us. Jesus comes to show us what God is like. The Spirit comes to actually feel God's love. And then the way that happens is us inviting the presence of God, the presence of Jesus, into our hearts. And it's the most amazing thing. Doing that is the most absolutely phenomenal thing. I'm not kind of saying this as a church leader or as someone, you know, as a spokesman for the religious community. I'm just saying this as a fellow, honest human being. Life is really tough. Life, you know, messes us up. People hurt us. Things confuse us. We get lonely. The main voices can become, you know, fear and doubt. And, you know, life just can be weary. And we can fill our lives with being successful, being good at our jobs. We can fill our lives with getting more money. We can fill our lives with sex, with partying, you know, whatever it is. And I personally, perfectly honestly, have not known anything to fulfill that kind of deep longing within me apart from just the presence of God in my heart. When we invite the presence of God into our hearts, when we accept the presence of God into our hearts, when we open our hearts from the inside out and say, Lord, just come fill this broken pot of clay, you know, with your treasure, it just changes everything. It just gives us a deep resolve. It gives us that kind of sense of being able to keep going when we feel lonely, when we feel weary. It enables us to feel him near when we feel alone. Or changes everything. That's how we know that's how we really know his Father's love. And that's how God gets around the problem. He shows us what he's like in Jesus, and then comes and is near to us every single day by his Spirit. So I'd just like to pray, if that's okay. Why don't we just close our eyes? And if you feel comfortable, just picture your heart with a door on it. It may well be that, you know, you've opened your door to God many, many times, and you just want to open it again and just say, just come be with me, Lord. Come be with me, God. Fill my heart. Give me strength. It may well be that actually you're just opening the door of your heart for the first time to Jesus. That's fantastic. If you're praying that prayer to Jesus, you know, for the first time, I'd just like you just be bold and just raise your hand. Lord, I just thank you that you're a loving Father. And I want to pray that you would help us to know your love each day. Amen.